When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
So thanks so much for joining us here tonight, Peggy. I know everyone's very excited for this event. I wanted to start by asking, you initially went to fashion school and then worked for Harper's Bazaar. When did you realize that music was something that you wanted to do professionally?
When I was a fashion student, I wanted to be a stylist, and I realized I suck. I realized I was only enjoying styling myself, and styling other people was a different story. Look at you, by the way. Okay. And then I was lucky enough. When I was discovering that, I discovered music. I was always going out every weekend. My hobby was looking at resident advisor, who's playing where. Yeah, and then in the very last course, I was not going to school because that's when I discovered production, and I failed the course, and my parents didn't let me come back, and I had to stay in London to pass this course. But yeah, that was the time I realized that fashion wasn't my thing, and I discovered music at the same time.
And getting into the profession, can you tell us about your journey of making your name for yourself as a DJ and producer? And were there any particular obstacles you faced as a young female DJ and producer?
It took a lot of time for of dedication, education, and practice. You know, it wasn't easy in the beginning. Yeah, I have faced a lot of obstacle in the beginning, like my opinion was not valued, and a lot of people wanted to just tell me what to do. But this kind of criticism kind of fuels my work, and I like to surprise people, and I also like to prove something wrong. Don't we all love the feeling when you prove someone wrong? So yeah, it took that criticism to the criticism fueled my work, yeah.
And do you think the industry has changed at all since you started?
We're in a good path. The female producers and DJs, they're on a good path. It's not like back in the day where a guy can talk shit about female producers, because I have faced a lot of fake rumors. A lot of people think that somebody's making my music, or she's just lucky, or she just wants fame. And a lot of people didn't take me seriously, but it took time for me to prove that.
And you moved from South Korea to London when you were 14 years old. Yeah. How did that move impact upon the rest of your life? And can you tell us a bit about that transition for you?
When I moved to London, I was 14. And learning different languages was very difficult for me. But by learning another language, it kind of opens up different perspective. And I was able to, it opened up my mind, and I was able to see things from different perspective. And I think it had impact on my life.
And then sort of following on from that, what impact, if any, does South Korean culture still have on your music now?
It's not really about the culture. I think it's more about my personal background and personality. It kind of comes naturally because I'm Korean. So yeah, I try to, for example, when I put up lyrics in Korean, I try to do in English. But sometimes when I find a record that's not my language, it somehow becomes precious. And I wanted to try singing in Korean, and I was afraid in the beginning how people are gonna think about my voice, or how is this language is gonna sound. But I think was brave enough, and because you don't know if you don't try. And I think that kind of made Kay house. No, yeah.
And when you moved to Berlin, how did the music scene there in the city impact upon your career and your music?
Before I moved to Berlin, I was more of a house and disco. And Berlin definitely upgraded my taste in music, and working at the record store in the very first year definitely helped, educated my taste. And every time I go out, because first year, as soon as I moved to Berlin, my life was all about working at the record store during the day, working on music at home, and going out every Sunday. And I was always at Panorama Bar, where they play more house and disco. I never really went to downstairs where they play techno. But Berlin definitely educated me to understand techno music. Yeah.
And throughout your career, you've traveled to so many different countries and had such a diverse range of experiences. How has this impacted upon you, and what lessons have you taken away from visiting such a huge range of cultures?
I've been to so many different countries, and I have experienced negative and positive, but you learn a lot by going rather than not going. And you know, nowadays, whenever you go to some country, you also have to learn about the countries. And like I said, you learn a lot by going and experience the city by not going there.
And looking back on all of these visits, from Coachella to Glastonbury and Amsterdam, are there any gigs in particular that stand out?
I definitely have to start with Glastonbury. Very first time I played there, one of my DJ friends said, "Peggy, do you want to play in Glastonbury?" And I was like, "What is Glastonbury?" I was so naive in that time. And then I went there, and that's where the Peggy Shue thing happened. I still don't know why this happened. And there were a lot of people shouting, "Peggy Who, Peggy Chu, Peggy Sue, Peggy," you know. So, and a lot of, there were, I found people were dancing to my music with the shoes on. And for another 1 year, it was people, I had a shoe gang in every city. And that's one of the gigs I would never forget. And Deckmantel Boiler Room also helped me step up my game. And recently, I had a good talk show. It was my curation party at Printworks. And because London is always special for me, because that's where I kind of started. And I used to DJ for 5 people, 10 people, if I was lucky, 50. But that was my own curating night that more than 5,000 people turn up. And that was very emotional night for me, so I was crying end of my set. And most recently, I went to Bali. Bali was one of the cities that I was going every year, and I was doing like a little sunset at the bar. And every time I go there, the Potato Head, that's the name of the place I played, Potato Head guys were telling me, "Oh, Grace Jones is coming for New Year's Eve. Disclosure is coming for New Year's Eve." And last year, it was me with my favorite DJ Harvey. And that was also something I would never forget.
And are there any artists in particular that you look to for inspiration, or you feel that have had a particularly big impact on your work?
I would like to start with Andrew Weatherall, who unfortunately passed away last week, and DJ Harvey and Lauren Garnier. They are very well-known DJ, but they're not just musical inspiration for me. They're a good example of people that I want to follow their path. You know, when you start as young, when somebody that you look up to, they say something that encourages you, you never forget. When I had a very first show in Sydney, I had a chance to meet Andrew, and he complimented one of my mixes. And I will never, you remember how he said it, where he said it, what he was even wearing, because that means so much to you. Yeah, those three are the names I can think of right now.
And when you perform, how important is it to you to change up every set?
Every time I play, every time I go to any festivals in the club, I think about my very first 3 track. And sometimes it takes longer to read the crowd, and sometimes, if you're lucky, you take short. And nowadays, there's a program called Record Box that a lot of DJs use, and which is good because they save your history. So if you really like one of the sets that you did, you can go back and see what you played. But DJ Harvey also said that's one of the reasons why he's not using Record Box, because he doesn't want to be lazy, because he can make you lazy. So I stopped using the history anymore, but it's really important because it depends on what time you're playing with who, where. Yeah. And it's, I think it's the most important thing is that you have to take the people journey, so you can't, your set can't be same all the time. And my philosophy is that when you DJ, you need to give 50% what crowd want and 50% what you want to do. And a lot of people don't know how to balance, and also I'm still learning as well, so.
Looking at some of your recent initiatives, can you tell us a bit about your gender equality campaign and mentoring female DJs and producers?
I had this gender equality campaign with Smirnoff like 2 years ago. It was amazing because you get submission from newcomer or female DJs and listening to mixes, and you basically mentor them whole few months, and by teaching them even how to beat match and listening to their DJ set was, you know, it's, I actually really enjoyed it, because even the reason why I'm here, I like to be a good example, I like to inspire people, and I'm hoping that 2020 is like, I've been thinking about a lot what to give back, and then that's one of the program I'm actually thinking about, how can I support more artists, not just female. And that's also one of the reasons why I started my own label as well, because my label, Gudu, also came from Peggy Shu. It's the Gudu means shoes in Korean. But I did that because I wanted to support the artists, because I have an experience of, like I said in the beginning, it was hard for me to break through because all this obstacle, I've been, you know, rumors, and my opinion was not valued, and I know that feeling, so I wanted to support the artists like as they want, you know.
So what are the biggest changes that you would hope to see in the coming years in the industry to make it easier for incoming artists to make a name for themselves?
I think we're already in a good place, and then a lot of new female DJs coming up, women DJs, and there are a lot of killer women DJs as well. And then keep supporting, and also, like, I'm trying to look for newcomers from my own country as well, and just keep getting demos and keep searching as well. I have a lot of people, I ask my team to also research on the new people as well, because sometimes I actually don't have time, but a lot of people always think, this is newcomers, and then you should check out on this mix, you should check her out. Yeah, always have your ears open, and yeah.
And looking at one of your other new initiatives, can you tell us about what inspired your new fashion line and what we can expect from it?
The fashion line, I started because the company actually asked me in the beginning, who do you want to dress your fashion line? I said, me, because I need to love it, you know, first. And I'm doing this because I want people to wear it with confidence, and it's very me. I love pajamas, I love prints, I love set, you know, two-piece. And sometimes I wear two-piece and or tropical shirts or this print, it kind of makes me feel confident and effortless, you know, if you were just wearing, because sometimes I always think about what to wear, shoes. I think about shoes first and then my clothes, but I hope that with my fashion line that people feel confident with it. Yeah.
And then my final question before we go to the audience for a while is, what impact do you think that social media has had on the industry, whether both the positives and the negatives?
Social media is, I love Instagram and I think I'm pretty good at it, but and the social media, it depends on how you use it. I use it for engaging with people. It's the best platform to engage with people. I read a lot of comments as well, and I also check direct messages, and I think it's a good platform to engage with people. Sometimes the too many phones can be, you know, a lot of people say shit about that, but you know, I also understand the feeling, because whenever I go to see my favorite DJ or favorite band, I want to have memories. I want to capture the moment as well. But unfortunately, I'm in this position, even if you want to do something positive, sometime I get shit. I'm in this position where even, I'll give you an example, but in Korea we have this word, if you want to wear crowns, you have to carry the weight, meaning nothing is easy. The other day I was in Bali and I was walking on the beach and I realized there was so much plastic on the beach, and I decided to collect them and I posted something about it on my Instagram, and a lot of people start giving me shit about you taking private jet. And I was like, in the beginning, I'm a human, I get offended. I'm like, what has that got to do with this? But it's important to channel your energy, negative to positive. So I'm aware of this issue now, you know? So the solution I came up with is that I can't stop flying because of what I do. I need to fly to be able to do what I do. But, and also private jet also sometimes helps. It's better than taking three flights. Sometimes it takes you there, but after this, I'm aware of the issue, and then I'm actually, me and my team, and I are looking for this carbon offsetting program, which is planting a plant, depends on how much you fly. Maybe I will have a goo forest one day.
Thank you. We'll move to some questions from the audience now. So if you have a question, please raise your hand, wait for the microphone to come to you, and please stand up while asking your question. Could we start with the member over there?
I wondered if there's any parallel between how you design your clothes and how you put together music in terms of your creative attitude.
I think it all comes from my taste, you know. I want to be eclectic, whether it's my DJ set or whether it's my fashion line. I just try to not stick with one style. I want to be eclectic as possible, and that all comes from my taste, I think. I hope that answers your question.
Are there any other questions? Could we go to the member in the red at the end of the second? And then.
What are your favorite places to go clubbing and why?
Oh. That's a very difficult question, but I had a whole month off in February, which was a very important month for me. I just went out Berghain again on Sunday. I think it's very important to listen to another DJ's set if you're a DJ, because when I moved to Berlin, the Berghain was the club that educated me by listening to a lot of people's set. I was always in the same position. I was always staring at the DJs and dancing at the same time. They probably think I was a weirdo, but yeah. So I think it's important to go out to hear someone else's, some other DJ's set. Berghain, basically.
Could we go to the member at the end of the second row for you?
Hi, thanks for coming to Oxford. I was wondering whether are you planning to include any menswear in your fashion line?
Actually, slowly. I'm already doing unisex fitting for the T-shirt. I told the production team to make extra large as well. Yeah, I mean, it's already it can be already unisex. You know, like nowadays everything is about genderless. You know, but it's coming. Yeah.
Could we go to the member right behind, on the road behind you?
Any tips for actually getting into the Berghain? I got rejected.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. I actually don't know. You know, even when you're on the guest list, Berghain makes you nervous. You know, like even when I'm on the guest list, I'm like, why am I so nervous about this? But one of my friends made a joke the other day. If you're a straight man, there's one way to get in because you want to look weird, right? If you're a straight man, apparently, this is a funny joke. I don't know if I should say this. They said, wear red lipstick because you look so weird. You know, when you're a straight man, just looking so normal with the red lipstick, they're going to let you in because you look so weird. This is what my friend said the other day.
Could we go to the member in the second row for that?
Thank you for your talk. This is a very serious question. Will you be playing a set in Oxford anytime soon?
I was actually just saying that last time I played in Oxford, it was O2 Academy, and I don't remember that much because I only remember because the crowd was so far away, and after this, I have to come back, right? But I want to ask a question. What is the best place to play? Where? Okay, so that's my agent right there.
could we go to the member in the third row here?
Hi, first of all, welcome to the Goonian. This is what this
Goonian.
Is. Given your intense...
How do people feel about getting Big Fitness Energy at Planet Fitness for $15 a month? They feel as thrilled as a kid the first summer they're tall enough to ride the roller coaster. That's right. When you join Planet Fitness right now, you get access to tons of equipment and free fitness training in a clean and spacious club. Don't wait. Join the judgment-free zone today for that all-day energy. Download the free Planet Fitness app and join today for $15 a month.
Hurry. Deal ends September 12th. Join today for $15 a month.
See Home Club for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save. Like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Like schedule, like on Instagram, you're everywhere around the world constantly. How are you alive?
Oh, thank you. Well, you mean, are you asking how do I manage basically?
Time management as a student, I envy you.
I recently changed my rider. No more gin tonic. I changed my rider to champagne because I'm not a big fan of champagne, so if I get champagne, I don't drink that much. And I put a ginger shot there. Ginger shot really helps. And these days, everywhere I go, I try to take my sportswear. And then if I have time, I always try to do some sports because that actually doesn't make you tired, but it actually gives your energy back. And I know it sounds very obvious and easy, waters too. It helps. A lot of people don't do it because they think it's too easy, but water is the key.
Can we go to the number right here?
Thank you for coming to speak at the Union. I'm just wondering, what do you dislike the most about the electronic music industry?
You know, actually, I forgot to mention electronic music. You know, when I was doing a fashion, I thought fashion people are fucked up. And when I decided to move to music industry people are fucked up too, you know? But there's nothing I dislike about it, because if I dislike something, I wouldn't be doing it. And I already faced an issue, and then that's not really an issue anymore. So yeah, I can't really find something that I dislike about it.
Could we go to the member in the back?
Going off the Berlin questions, how did you find that techno specifically after your breakthrough widened your understanding of music?
Sorry, how did I?
Find that with techno specifically,
techno?
Like breaking through with it.
Techno?
Yeah.
I mean, how do I breakthrough with the techno?
Well, I went to Berlin recently and I found that like I could understand the narrative of it more.
How I understood techno.
Or like how it has helped your appreciation of music.
I mean, like I said, Berlin was a perfect city for me to educate my music, and it upgraded my taste for sure. Like I said, I was at Panorama Bar to listen more of house music, and I would try to go downstairs to listen to techno. I was like, nah, not for me. And then you kept on going. I'm like, I get it, you know? At some point you're like, oh my God, you know? And I funny things, like very old DJ friend of mine told me really, really long time ago, because I'm from Korea, and Korea techno scene is getting better and bigger these days, but it's more EDM, and I came from that background. And I remember one of the DJ from who used to play EDM, I wish I can play techno in Korea, but it's not the right place at the moment. But when you understand techno, you're gonna understand music. He said that when I was like 19. And yeah, Berlin made me understand the genre.
Could we go to the member in the first row?
So now that you obviously have like work with like the label and work with like the fashion line and everything like that, how much do you think your lifestyle's had to change, and like sort of what the biggest change that's happened kind of is?
What has changed? My lifestyle has changed completely. You know, like last 4 years, I've been traveling a lot, like crazy, and I have realized last year, because I'm traveling so much, I didn't really have time to be creative. And I believe that creative people are creative when they do nothing. And this is why I decided to take some time off, because last year, all I think about was room service and Netflix. And so this year I decided to take it a little bit slow. That was one of the lifestyle thing, biggest change of my lifestyle, because you know, traveling, sometimes I don't even, when I wake up, I don't even know which city I am. And I go to airport, they're like asking me, where have you just come from? I'm like, you know, because yeah, I guess that's the.
Could we go to the member?
Hi, I just wanted to know, did you feel sort of any cultural barriers getting into music, coming sort of from like, you know, like a certain background?
Actually, no. I think learning language, learning another language, actually, like I said earlier, like it kind of helped me open up a different perspective. And I think it's that kind of helped me. I don't think I have faced any cultural like barriers, yeah.
Can we go to the member on the first row?
You spoke a bit upstairs about how you had like quite an eclectic music taste. I was just wondering, are there any specific decade that's your favorite, or do you have like a favorite decade of music? Tricky question.
Most of my favorite musics are from a year before I was born, like 1980s. I love old New York house and Chicago house as well. And I also listen to a lot of old hip hop, you know, old school hip hop. Yeah, so I would say 80s and 90s.
Could we go to the member at the end of the first?
Hi, I just wanted to know if you would ever consider taking up a residency somewhere like Ibiza, or whether you like moving around a lot.
I got a request and I said no. And I because I used to be a resident, I started as a resident DJ, and I have a huge respect for resident DJ, because resident DJ is quite difficult, because in the beginning you need to know how to play for 5 people, 10 people, 100 people, and I kind of said no because I don't want to associate like one thing at the moment. Maybe in a few years I might be interesting, but not right now.
Could we go just right next to you?
You spoke a bit upstairs about your parents. What's the best advice that your parents gave you?
Oh wow, so something I need to also think about it too. Like it's maybe, rather than advice, but what I appreciate from them is that, yeah, I had a lot of conflicts too. You know, they were not sure, you're doing a fashion and then doing music, and then they're thinking, what are you gonna do next, you know? But they never really stopped me, and they kind of supported me, even though there were a lot of complaints and conflict, but they never stopped me doing that. So I guess that's already a good support.
Could we go to the member on the first row there? Yeah, I found it, just right there.
Thanks so much for coming. Do you ever see yourself moving into like a different genre of music completely, producing something else, perhaps?
You know, I used to care loads about genres. I want to be a house DJ, I want to be a techno DJ, but I don't care about the genres anymore. I go by the year, and then some people call my music indie, some people call it disco, some people call it house music, whatever, you know? And then I think I'm planning to do my album this year, and I am planning to produce a lot of different kinds of genres I like. It can be down-tempo, it can be pop, it can be house music, Italo disco, you know? So if I like it, I like it. So I don't really go follow by the genre anymore.
Thank you. Could we go to the member on the back or over there?
Hi, so you touched on this in the beginning about how you knew that fashion wasn't for you. But when did you realize that music was what you wanted to do? Because obviously any passion requires a bunch of hard work and you have to be able to put in the time and the effort. And how did you know that you were in the right place at the right time and you were doing everything and you were on the right path? I think
when I was in London,
yeah,
you mean? I was actually pretty lucky realizing that something I wasn't good at, because I went to London to study fashion. In the beginning, I was like, I'm going to be a designer. And then after 1 year, I'm like, I think I want to be a stylist. Then I realized I really enjoy styling myself, but I'm not good at styling other people, and I didn't really enjoy. But that was the time perfectly came out. I was going out every weekend, getting to know DJs and promoters, and one of the guy who I was Facebook friends with, and said, "You seems like you are not collecting records as a hobby. Are you interested in learning production?" And I started taking lessons. As soon as I taking lesson, I stopped going university. That's why I failed the course. So this thing came at the same time. I was quite lucky to realize what I wanted to do at a young age. But my feeling when I did fashion and when I discovered music was completely different. You know, that's when I realized this is what I really want to do. You know, maybe I should think about moving to Berlin just to do that. Yeah.
Could we go to the member at the end of the third row?
Hi, thanks very much for coming. I was curious, when you're making music, do you find that there's any particular synths or drum machines or pieces of software that you particularly like using, and why?
My favorite synthesizer is Jupiter 6. And I used to want to collect a lot of drum machines and synthesizer, but that came from my insecurity. Once you actually find some, you don't need that much synthesizer and drum machine if you really know how to use them. I bought MPC 3000. I still don't know how to use them, this one. And I would say Jupiter 6 from Roland is one of my favorite. And 606 drum machine.
Can we go just right in front of you?
It's sort of following from that question, but what's the best bit of production advice you've ever got or that you'd give to anyone?
In the very beginning, when I was making my demo, I was rushing. Meaning I wanted to put something out there, but if I listen to all my demos, it sounds shit. Mm-hmm. And one of my mentor told me, don't rush anything. Once it's ready, you're gonna know it's ready. And I think that was one of the best advice I got, because as soon as I stopped taking my time, like maybe, yeah, I need to chill. And you will know it when it's ready. So rushing is never good, because your production will be there forever. And you don't want to dislike your own production.
Could we go to the first, the member in the first group, in the gray?
And maybe I can add something that I think is important if you want to be a producer, it's nice to learn some instrument. I was a classic pianist. And I took another lesson to learn jazz piano, which helped me a lot on production. Making bass line was the most difficult part, but after learning jazz piano, it became the easiest part, yeah.
Hi, I was just wondering, if you could work with anyone in terms of fashion or music, who would it be and why?
Oh gosh, I need to think about it. Recently, the Gudu, my label, I had a chance to work with one of my favorite producers, Marius Fulton. I still can't believe it, but on my new album, I'm planning to do a collaboration with a few artists. I can't tell you yet. Maybe about the fashion. There are some designers that I look up to. I love Prada and Phoebe from Celine and Craig Green. Yeah.
Could we go to the number at the end of the row here?
That's a difficult one.
You were saying that at the start of your career you didn't feel like your voice was very acknowledged and that you experienced a lot of criticism. At the start of your career your voice wasn't feeling very acknowledged or appreciated and you experienced a lot of criticism. Did you struggle with pushing through that and just having to back yourself?
Yeah, 100%. And you know, in the end, I learned how to channel my energy negative to positive. But in the beginning, in the very beginning, when you try to break through, you know, if your opinion is not valued or they want to tell you what to do, the label, and this can be this very discouraging, but you know, you have to fight for it. You know, I'm not a big fan of talking about all these negative things anymore because I think, but I learned how to channel my energy, negative to positive, you know.
Can we go to the number in the middle of the bathroom? Yeah.
Hi, I just wanted to ask, why do you like giraffes so much? And what do you do? What do you do with all the toys that you get sent?
What sorry, that again?
The giraffe toys that you get sent, what do you do with them?
Actually, I'm thinking about doing an exhibition with the giraffe. I have like almost like, seriously, I get so many giraffes from different countries and they're all different as well. And I love giraffe because sometimes I'm very hyper and giraffe kind of is an animal to tell me, calm the fuck down. Yeah, and I think they're very cute, yeah.
Could we go to the number in the second row?
Hi, thank you for coming. I was wondering if there was any track you wasn't sure if it's going to be good or not, but then turned out to be like really successful at the end.
Sorry, if there was a track?
Like, as in like a track of your track of songs that you weren't sure if it's going to be good or not, but then turned out to be really successful.
It wasn't really about the track. It was more of my voice. You know, when I very first time I did my track with the Korean lyrics, I sent it to one of my favorite producer. Yo, I'm singing in Korean. And he was like, send it to me. I'm like, no. And he was like, you know you're about to put that record out there and everybody's gonna hear it. And it wasn't really about the track. I was insecure about my voice and how his Korean language sounds gonna be like. But you know, you don't know until you try, and I'm glad I tried, yeah. And also, if you're not sure about your track, you shouldn't put it there, you know.
Could we go to the number in the second row in the red, I think?
The Starry Nights music video is one of my all-time favorite music videos, and I think it's really rare to see music videos sort of in this corner of the music industry. So I just wanted to know what your inspiration for that was.
Starry Night music video was, wow. Well, thank you, first of all. And it was directed by Jonas Lindström, happened to be my boyfriend, and I asked him in the very beginning, do you want to do a music video for my song Starry Night? And he didn't answer my question for 20 days. And I was like, okay, he doesn't want to do it, you know? He just wanted to be polite. But it was the first time he created a music video for dance music. You know, it's actually sometimes easier to create a music video for like hip hop, which he did before. And he did a lot of research on the Korean culture. And we put an idea together, and I think it was, because a lot of Korean people wants to be European. They want to follow the European trend as well, but I wanted to well, he wanted to put a lot of Korean source, and it was a message that actually, hold on a minute, there are so many beautiful things from our own culture. That's why you can see the Ganggang Sulae, which doesn't really happen anymore, but for example, Ganggang Sulae is about people dancing under the moon on the sea, which is from back in the day. And also, that's one of the reasons why we have Taekwondo, like a Korean, and also the message from the music video actually came from that everybody wants to feel alive, and that's what music does, if that makes sense. You know, because that music video has a lot of different scene, you know, a drunk guy coming from the party, or the old lady who has a beautiful house but nowhere to go, and two couples sleeping at night, and you know, all different scenes. But the one message is that you want to feel alive, and I know it's quite cheesy, but music is something that makes you feel alive, and that's the message behind it. And yeah.
Could we go to the member in the middle, over there?
Thank you very much for the talk. My question is about the fashion. When you design new clothes, do you care for the mode of the fashion industry still now, or just, you know, concentrate on your imagination to create new fashion?
Models?
Models, you know, the, you know, fashion leader, like Paris collection or whatever. Also, when you choose a color, do you have any specific brand color? Like today you wear nice pink, but any particular reason to choose?
That's a pretty good question, but I don't think I design clothes by thinking about which model. I actually design the clothes, and then when it's ready, I choose the model afterward. And colors inspiration comes from different city. Recently, I've been to Japan, and I've seen a lot of beautiful colors from there. And each season, inspiration comes from different things. And yeah, let's see.
Can we go to the member behind?
Hi, thank you for coming. So when you moved to Berlin, how did you actually manage to get into the music industry?
If I be really honest, I got a Facebook message from the record store owner saying, hey, I see that you moved to Berlin, do you want to work there? And then I was working every day there by getting €5 per hour, and then I was working on the music at home. It was tough because I also moved in November. Oh my God, Berlin winter is very tough. And I was going out pretty much every weekend, and when you go out, you meet people. Once you know A, you also get to know B, and a lot of people I meet was from music industry, so that's how I was building. And also by working at the record store, a lot of DJs and music industry people come by, and I was trying to build a relationship from them, and some friendship or connection comes from partying at the club as well, yeah.
Could we go to the member in the second row? Oh.
Yeah, I was just wondering, where do you see the future of your kind of musical style evolving towards people like Kamal Williams and the kind of new UK jazz scene? He did a DJ Kicks recently. I don't know if you're aware of them. Do you find, do you think you'd be interested in collaborating with some of these kind of London-based, you know, like new jazz, very techno, very house-inspired artists?
Are you asking, will I collaborate?
Not whether you collaborate necessarily, but do you see any kind of like inspiration in the kind of the kind of direction taken there?
My music inspiration comes from every different genre, and like I said, I don't really go by the genre. Sometimes I listen to this music and I love it, but I don't even know what this genre is, you know? I'm willing to collaborate and putting a lot of different genres, but don't want to talk about this right now. It's a surprise.
Are there any other questions? Could we go to the member in the back or over there?
I just want to ask, like, aside from the music industry, what would you say is your favorite thing about Berlin, and how do you think the city has influenced your aesthetic, if at all?
Berlin, I say to people, a lot of people ask me, how do you find living in Berlin? I always tell people, if you want to live in Berlin, you have to leave. You know, Berlin is a very nice home base. You know, after tour, it's nice to come back as a home, but I can't be there 24/7 as well. You know, it's what I love about Berlin is also summer. Because I'm from Korea, Asia, you don't get a sun until like 11 p.m. You never get that. Every 6 p.m. is never, there's no sun. And what I love about Berlin is summer. What I don't like about Berlin is winter.
Do we have any other questions? Could we go to the member in the back? The last row, I think.
Hello, thank you for coming. A recent documentary by Taylor Swift revealed the deep levels of sexism that women have to suffer in the music industry. And not only are you a woman, but also a woman of color. And with rising xenophobia in the United Kingdom and across Europe, could you elucidate to all of us the discrimination that you suffer as a woman of color and how you try to combat that through the music you produce?
I think that comes to a question that I answered earlier. I have faced a lot of obstacles and criticism as a woman, but I'm not a big fan of talking about this. And as long as I learn how to channel your energy negative to positive, you know, I'm not a big fan of talking about specific examples of issues that I have to face.
Well, then just some final ones from me before we close the event. Looking forward, do you see yourself being able to balance your music and fashion, or do you kind of want to focus on one of them more over there?
Right now, I'm doing fashion and music because I can. And a lot of people ask me, how do you see yourself? Are you going to be DJ forever? How long are you do you give it a go? But right now, I don't plan a year. I think if I get an opportunity, I do it. And whether it's art, I don't really set the time, you know? Maybe my DJ life is 5 years, 10 years, but I plan to do more than just a DJ. You know, for example, this year I'm planning to make an album, and when I do an album, I want to do a live set. You know, maybe when I do a live set, I push the, you know, that's more than a DJ. And if I can do fashion line, I will continue. And I'm very ambitious, so if I get an opportunity to even make a hotel, I would do it, you know? I don't put the boundary. I don't really plan myself, I'm gonna be doing fashion this much and this, that. If I can, why not? That's me.
And then comparing the music and the fashion industries, was there anything that struck you particularly as different between the two? Was there anything particularly different between the music and the fashion industries that really struck you when you were moving from one to the other?
You know, they are quite connected, you know. Fashion industry and music industry is very different, but somehow they come together. And in the beginning, when I wanted to be just DJ and producer, I kind of felt like I had to give up fashion just because I felt like a lot of people would judge me, oh, she's from fashion world, she's not serious, she just wants fame. But after a few years back, I'm like, if I can't, why not? I don't see this as a two separate thing anymore. I think there are connections, and how to say this? What was your initial question again?
Just about the differences that you found between the music and the fashion.
It's very difficult to say because I actually don't really compare these two anymore. And then it's just because fashion and music are part of me now. I don't necessarily make a difference between them, you know.
And then my final question before we have to close the event is there any particular track that's special to you that's sort of your favorite?
Gosh, that's the most difficult question so far. Instead of saying a track, I would want to recommend to listen to Andrew Weatherwell's mix set, you know, if you don't mind saying that, because it's very hard, and every day it changed, my favorite track changed, you know? So, but if I can recommend something to listen to, I would recommend Andrew Weatherwell's mix set.
Thank you so much. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for today, but please join me in thanking Peggy for coming to the UN.
Mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.